Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. In 1958, Cashbox, Billboard, and the Jukebox Operators of America named Connie Francis as the number one female vocalist. She was named top female vocalist by all the trades for six consecutive years, a record never surpassed. As well, England's prestigious New Musical Express also named her the world's number one female vocalist. She earned two gold records for Who's Sorry Now and Stupid Cupid. On a global scale, Connie Francis was the top-selling female vocalist of the 60s, and despite the sensational advent of Madonna, the longevity of Diana Ross, and the multi-format generations of the 80s and 90s, she remains the most commercially successful female singer of all time, with an estimated worldwide sales figure well in excess of 200 million. Today, Connie Francis is widely involved in some very interesting and diverse projects. Of greatest importance and passion is that of helping returning American veterans of war. Connie Francis is the national spokeswoman for Mental Health America's STAR campaign, an important national campaign to raise awareness of what veterans are facing every day of their lives. Another long-awaited autobiography among my souvenirs, The Real Story, was released in 2017. Please welcome a true American icon, legendary pop singer, and top-charting female vocalist of the late 1950s and 60s, Connie Francis, to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, Connie.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you.
How can I follow that introduction?
Well, you've done so much, it's hard to condense it, you know?
Thank you.
I'd be here all day. You know, I just received my DNA results from, I think it's called MyHeritage, yesterday,
right.
And I found out I'm 43.5% Italian. How about that?
Then do whatever you want. And I received my report and I found out that I'm 24% Turkish.
Really? Is that right? How about that?
I thought I was 100% Italian.
Yeah, I've got
I sort of question ancestry.
Yeah, I know. They had 1% Nigerian for me, too. I don't know where that came from. Well, you've got a pretty cool, it's a Lifetime Achievement Award coming up. It's in June, I guess, in Wildwood Convention Center?
Yes.
And they're honoring artists who...
It's the East Coast Music Hall of Fame.
Looks at, and a bunch of people, which is incredible. A lot of great people. That are, I guess, they're up for an award for that gala?
Yes. Tony Orlando will be there. Frankie Avalon will be there. Bobby, let me see. I don't know if Bobby Vinton's going to be there. I know there's a slew of people going to be there.
That's
June 5th at Convention Center.
That's going to be exciting. That's at Wildwood Convention Center, Wildwood, New Jersey, June 5th at 6 o'clock.
Right.
And I know you just lost a good friend, Les Reed, recently.
Yes, I did. It's a tragedy. He was an incredible musician and add new meaning to the word gentleman. He was just an amazing human being, and I did a whole album of West Street songs.
Yeah, Les was partners with a lot of people, including Gordon Mills, Barry Mason, Jeff Stevens, and he co-wrote so many hits, you know, like a lot of Tom Jones hits. It's Not Unusual, Delilah, The Last Waltz from Engelbert.
Yes, he did all of the Tom Jones and Engelbert hits.
He was incredible. And
he did Petula Clark and Say Goodbye.
Yep. You know, when I think of the great women of the late 50s and 60s, you know, there's only a handful that, you know, had so many hits. I've interviewed Petula Clark. She's one of them. I always think of Dusty Springfield, but I think you're the leader.
Well, I'm in good company then.
Very, very good company. What the, you also got a new song out that came out in March, I think, God Save America?
Yes.
I love it, by the way.
It was written I recorded it in 1970, I'm not sure, but the lyrics are so apropos for today. It was written by Neil Sedaka and Howie Greenfield.
Well, you had a great relationship with Neil Sedaka, huh?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he's still going strong as ever.
Yes, he is.
But I really like the song, and like you said, it really fits in today's time.
Yes, it was very prophetic.
Very, very cool tune.
Thank you.
I understand you actually had interest in going to med school, right?
Yeah, I wanted to be a doctor in research.
And you were offered a scholarship at New York University?
Yes, I was offered a 4-year scholarship.
What happened? You just kind of changed directions and went into music?
I had a hit record.
That'll do it.
So all my plans for becoming the next Dr. Welby went right down the drain.
Connie, you couldn't do both?
Couldn't do both. The car kept me very busy.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been a challenging career, though, to be a doctor, though, and a singer. That would have been pretty neat. I don't know how many of those we have out there. your dad was an interesting guy, and I've met a lot of tough Italian dads, and you know, I always brought up with a lot of Italian guys, and their dads, you know, and for some reason I just meshed really well with them. So I kind of, you know, thinking about, you know, reading about your dad, I know a lot of guys, a lot of my friends' dads were a lot like that as well.
He was very strict.
Yeah. What was it about?
He wasn't just strict. He was a vigilante.
Really? So he was kind of protecting us in a way.
Very much so.
That's pretty cool, actually.
I wish today there were female performers who had somebody like my father to keep them in line.
That's true. You know, that I agree with you 100%. What was it though about Bobby Darin? That did he not like Bobby Darin, or what was it? Or was he just protecting you?
He hated him.
He hated him. What was it?
He was afraid he would mess with my virginity.
Really? Well, he probably would have.
Yes, he did. There were two people my father wanted me to stay away from.
Right.
One was Bobby Darin and the other was Frank Sinatra.
Huh. Was Frank after you too?
No, Frank was a good friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I know a lot of people that I've interviewed were good friends with Frank. I've interviewed Trini Lopez, and
right.
How much Frank did for his career. And I just had Tom Dreesen. He was just on the show recently. He, you know, he toured with Frank for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a big Frank Sinatra fan. I actually got to see Frank 5 times in concert, and I had front row seats in Vegas, Atlantic City. So I got my fill of Frank Sinatra.
I never got my fill of Frank Sinatra.
There's never going to be another guy like him, you know?
No, he was an
Although, Bobby Darin, I thought, might have been the next kind of Frank Sinatra, you know?
Yes, he was. He would have. He, Bobby was the greatest performer that ever lived.
He had that coolness, you know?
He was amazing. He did everything. He wrote his own his songs. He was a dancer. He was a musician who played five instruments. He was a wonderful actor. He did it all. Bobby did it all. And it was a tragedy that he died at 37.
That's so sad. But he had some problems along the way, right? With some heart issues, I guess?
So, he was born with a defective heart.
Really?
He was born with rheumatic fever.
Oh.
And the doctor didn't think he lived past 15.
Really?
So he lived his life always on borrowed time.
Yeah. Beyond the Sea was, you know, to me, very close to a Sinatra hit, you know? That was such a cool song.
It's used in so many films and television shows, Beyond the Sea. It was one of his greatest songs.
It was. And, of course, Mac the Knife is, you know, real classic.
Yeah, Mac the Knife was a number one for 9 weeks.
So you guys had a chance to get married, but that didn't work out because you're dead.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bobby foresaw a White House with a picket fence, and I foresaw a funeral. Hours.
Boy, I would have hate to be Bobby, you know, with your dad coming after him like that. Gosh, I just can't imagine. What did you know, Sandra Dee?
No, I never met Sandy. Well, no, that's not true. I did meet Sandy once, yes, when Bobby was in the coma.
Yeah, and she had some problems too, which was a shame. She died kind of young as well.
Yes, Sandy was an alcoholic.
Yeah, it's a tough business, you know. You hear so many stories. It's tough, very difficult. But you've done.
It is a tough business, and it's difficult to keep both feet on the ground.
Yep. Well, you've done a great job, you know, with all of everything that's happened in your life. You know, we all have tragedies in our life. I mean, I don't think there's one person on the street that had a, you know, clear sailing life. There's always been something with everybody. But you've hung in there, and I admire you for that. You've done a great, great thing.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, you're a wonderful lady. You really are.
Thank you.
How about Elvis? What can you tell me about you and Elvis?
Well, Elvis, I met one night.
Right.
I was appearing at the Sahara in Las Vegas, and Elvis and the Memphis Mafia, his friends, came to see my show, and they were sitting front row center, and they were enjoying the show. We were all having a good time. Until I sang Mama. When I sang Mama, Elvis burst into tears and he left the theater.
Really?
And the next day he sent me 2 dozen roses and a note of apology, saying that the song had touched him so, because it reminded him of his mother.
Yeah, he was very close to his mom.
He was very close to his mother, right?
Yeah.
We were both doing films at MGM. It's amazing that we never ran into each other.
Yeah, you know, I'm shocked. I'm surprised you guys didn't do a film together, you know, at that time.
Right.
It would have made sense. It would have been great. They say
it was my father's idea for me to record a song with Elvis when he came out of the Army.
Right.
And to have Neil Sedaka and Howie Greenfield write it. But people weren't doing duets back then, but it was a great idea, and I just let it go by.
And they called you the female Elvis back then, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a great idea. I should have followed through on it.
Yeah. Well, you fought your dad on your first big hit, right?
Yes. He wanted to do Sorry Now and I wanted no part of it.
You're saying you want me to do this song from 1923? What are you kidding me?
Off American Bandstand, I said.
It's amazing how it all worked out, you know? And another great guy is Dick Clark. I mean, you know, you miss those guys, you know, the pioneers of music, you know?
Dick Clark was an amazing man. Without Dick Clark, there would have been no Connie Francis.
Dick Clark, I guess Don Kirshner was also involved with you.
Right, Donnie and Bobby were writing songs together.
Yeah.
Singles together, and they came to see me. That's how I met Bobby, with Donnie Kirshner.
So you were writing jingles too, right? Were you at the drill building also?
Yeah, no, I wasn't at the drill building. I was always there, right. But I didn't have an office at the drill building.
But you did, songs. Demos or something.
No, I didn't. I never wrote songs.
But didn't you present, was it Freddie? The one song?
Yeah, but I didn't write that.
Right, right. Because I love that song, Freddie.
You're kidding.
I do. I thought it was could have been a hit.
Well, you're the only one, aside from my Aunt Marie.
Yeah, I was a top 40 DJ back in the late 70s, and, I'm pretty good at figuring out hits. I thought it was a hit. I really do. I thought it was a good hit. Good, so I think they missed out on that one.
Well, they did. and 9 more, 8 more like it.
Eight
first
more?
9 songs I recorded, 18 sides were all bombs.
Yeah, wow. But, you got to go through the tough times to make it, You just got to, that's the way it works, I guess.
The DJs were tired of seeing me. With every new release, I would do a promotional tour.
Right.
And with every new release, I had a bomb.
Huh.
Until Dick Clark played Who's Sorry Now on January 1st, 1958. And the amazing thing, Ray, at the end of 1957, December, I was taking shorthand and typing in my Aunt Marie's office.
Right.
At the end of 1958, I was voted the world's top female vocalist in the space of 1 year.
That's amazing. I wonder how they got that song on the radio back then. I know Dick Clark, promoted it, but...
Dick promoted it, all the other DJs hopped on it.
Yeah, they just hopped on it, yeah. See, back then they could do that. Nowadays, you can't really do that. It's so programmed nowadays,
I know, there's very little personality radio left, right?
I miss that.
I miss it, too.
I really miss that.
I don't even listen to the radio. I just listen to my iPod and my telephone, and because a lot of the music out there I can't identify with.
I'm with you on that. And, there's a lot of the same artists over and over again, There's a lot of girls. It's all about the dancing, that kind of show... performance, all about the dancing, and it's these singers today are not, if it wasn't for what is that called, that makes your voice, I just lost it there, even showing you my age here now, auto-tune, if it wasn't for auto-tune, they couldn't sing. Auto-tune makes a star out of everybody.
And it's making an orangutan sound good.
I think you're right. Where the Boys Are, which was filmed in Lauderdale, and that, brought out the Spring Breakers and all that, it's funny because when I hit Lauderdale, I took a beer on the beach and I was almost arrested when I first came to Fort Lauderdale, and I was saying, what the hell? I thought this was the place, But the cops
really changed the face of the nation.
No, the cops are tough down there. Cops are tough in Florida in general,
When I did Where the Boys Are in 1960, there were only 7 patrol cars in the whole of Fort Lauderdale.
Really?
That was it. That was the police department.
Huh. I had a ball in Fort Lauderdale when I lived there, though. I did have a good time, but played a lot of racquetball.
It's a good place to live.
Yeah, it is a good place to live, but I like it better over here on the West Coast.
The West Coast is beautiful.
Yeah. Have you been to this area? Have you been to Sarasota?
Yes, I've been to Tampa, Clearwater, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you need to come tour over here. Are you going to start touring again?
No, I'm not.
You're not. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to tour.
I'm retired.
Oh, you are retired. Okay. What about putting out another album? You think that'll happen?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't sing the way I used to.
I think you do. I've heard, I saw you a lot of YouTube videos of some recent shows, and you sound great.
Well, I don't think so.
No, huh? Well, you're the boss. Well, when the Beatles came out, during the, you know, that was a tough time for everybody.
Everybody was blown right off the chart.
Yeah. Did you get to meet any of the Beatles?
No, I didn't. But I remember an interview that John Lennon did the first time that they appeared in the United States. A reporter said, "Do you know who Connie Francis is?" And John Lennon said, "Is the Pope Catholic?" Of course I know who Connie Francis is. She's a lovely woman, but I'd never want to marry her. And so the reporter said, "Why not?" And he said, "Because she'd be too busy for me."
That's funny.
I never got to meet any of the Beatles.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah, that changed history. You know, I know a lot of guys that were really, including Trini Lopez, that were really, really hot commodities. And of course, all the guys like Bobby Vinton and Frankie Avalon and all those male singers, they just kind of dropped out of, you know, existence when the Beatles came out. But they came back later. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it was a sad day for American vocalists then.
Yeah, the whole British invasion thing, that just kind of took over. Yeah. You performed for the troops back in 67, right, during the Vietnam era?
Yes, I did.
What was that like?
It was the most rewarding experience of my life. Yeah. I never felt more needed than I felt in Vietnam. And I wanted to stay longer. I didn't want to leave. But it was Christmas time, and my piano player and drummer, I didn't go with Bob Hope or anybody, I went by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And they were exhausted, and it was Christmas time, and they were just so spent for the whole trip. And we didn't have the benefit then of tracks where, they, you know, I could sing to tracks, but I didn't want to leave Vietnam.
Huh. But did you hear any of the bombing or anything like that while you were there?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I mean, while I was singing, mortars were going off and small gunfire was surrounded us.
Wow. That's incredible. Now, you went by yourself. You didn't go with, did you go, was it the USO or anything like that?
I went with the USO.
Right.
It was sponsored by the USO, yes.
How many different places did you go? Which?
I think we went to almost every army base.
Wow.
And all the McAfee hospitals there, too.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And I know you support the veterans, you know, that we all thank you for that as well.
I certainly do support the veterans. I think the government should do more for them.
I think you're right. I take care of my dad. He's 94, and he was a World War II vet in the Marines. I take care of him. Oh. And my brother was in Vietnam. I was the only guy that didn't have to go, but I wanted to join the Navy, but I got talked out of it. So,
well, it's a good thing you got talked out of it because it was a hellhole.
Yeah, I know. I was talked out of it by two Navy SEALs. They said, "Don't do it, man. Don't do it." So I listened to them, you know.
Was your brother all right?
Yeah, he was good. He was in the Air Force. He was the guy that was directing the firefighters. He was, you know, mainly in Thailand. He was in Vietnam, but he did okay. He made it.
58,000 lives we lost for nothing.
Isn't that crazy? That's unbelievable.
And all of the millions of people that were affected indirectly.
And, you know, the Korean War as well. That's another one. You know, that's...
Right.
Yeah.
Useless wars.
It's very sad, you know. And if you want to go way back, how about the war between the states? I mean, that what is that all about? I think we lost more people during that war than anything. The Confederate Army.
More so, 600,000.
Wow.
We lost in the Civil War.
Isn't that something?
Yes, it is. More than any other war we've ever fought.
Brother against brother, you know.
Yes.
And that wasn't that long ago, if you really think about it.
Not in the scheme of things.
No. You know, you're talking about you're retired, but in 07, you performed for sold-out crowds in San Francisco, And then you were in the Philippines in 2008. And in 2010, you were at the Vegas Hilton with Dionne Warwick.
That's right.
So really,
that
wasn't
that, my career than I do, right?
That wasn't that long ago.
Right.
I know, I'm trying to get you back, but, you know, take it easy, relax.
I'm enjoying my life.
You're enjoying your life. Well, what's a typical day for you now?
Doing interviews.
Doing interviews.
Doing book signings.
Right, right. Your book has done very well.
I've been doing a lot of book signings.
Well, it's a great book. Now, this is volume one, right? There's going to be another volume coming out?
Yes, volume two and three.
Oh, there's going to be two more volumes. Wow.
Yeah.
Excellent. And I think you did most of the writing too, right?
I did all of the writing.
Awesome. You know, it gets me when somebody, I don't want to pick on her, Betty White, she says, I love to write, you know, and she says that she's been writing books. There's no way, because all the TV shows that she was doing and everything, and you know she had help. But when somebody takes the time and actually write, I really admire that.
Thank you.
Connie, here's a question that I ask everybody, and I get some very interesting answers. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like the movie, to perform or collaborate with anyone from the past, who would that be?
Bobby,
yeah. Now, did you guys perform together on stage?
No.
You never did, huh?
No.
Huh.
We did on Ed Sullivan.
On Ed Sullivan, okay.
Right.
You don't remember what you did, huh? What song you did?
You're the Top and You Make Me Feel So Young.
Oh, those are great songs.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you got a great memory, I tell you that. Well, what'd you think of Ed Sullivan? I interviewed a lot of people that were on the show, and I get some mixed reactions.
Ed Sullivan was my biggest fan.
Really?
He was very supportive of me. And he allowed me to do any song I wanted to do on the show, which was amazing because he didn't generally do that. He was a good friend. Ed was a very close friend.
He was very, so instrumental in bringing all the best of the best to TV, you know?
Yes.
And, that's what we're missing now, those pioneers. You know, we need somebody like that nowadays to...
We need some good variety shows.
Yeah, I love variety shows. There were so many of them back then, too.
Yes, Perry Como.
Yep.
Jack Benning.
Andy Williams.
Right.
Yeah. Those were good for you, singers like you. I mean, those were great places to...
Yeah, Andy was great.
Yeah, I love it. I got to meet Andy at one of his Christmas shows, and I was living in D.C. at the time. And such a nice man.
Lovely man.
Yep. Connie, what were you like as a kid? I'm assuming with your dad being so strict, did you have much fun?
I wasn't even allowed to go to my high school prom.
Oh, man. That must have hurt.
And I didn't date all during high school. Not once.
I heard you kept a diary and it was in shorthand so nobody would read it. Is that true?
Right. My mother was a snoop. She knew things I didn't tell anybody, and I figured out that I had my diary. I had the diary on Mondays in a certain place, on Tuesdays under my flips, on Wednesdays behind my dresser, and she still knew everything. So I sent away for the Greg shorthand, a great book of shorthand.
Right.
And I learned shorthand on my own so my mother wouldn't read my diary.
That's very clever, actually. So you didn't date much at all in high school, or were you allowed to date at all?
I didn't date at all.
Not at all, huh? Wow.
I wasn't allowed to.
Wow. Not even as a senior or anything, huh?
No.
Man, oh man. There's no way to reason with your dad, huh?
No way to reason. Even when I went to college and I had a date, he had a problem with that.
Wow. Yeah, that was tough. That was like old, that's really old school. But you know what? They you know, I saw a video of your mom and dad, and they look pretty cool. I mean, you know. They look
they
like.
They both had a great sense of humor.
Yeah. Your mom looked really, really cool. I like that. You know, I heard her talking on, I think I did watch the bio of you. There are so many of them.
It's funny in biography.
Yeah. They did a good job, I think.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So what was your greatest challenge, I guess, through life or music?
To get rid of my father.
Are you sure you didn't have a little bit of stand-up comedian in you?
My sense of humor I got from my mother and father.
Yeah, you got a great sense of humor. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, we all have it. My dad's been tough, too, but at least he let me date. That's just because I'm not a girl, I guess. But, you know, I was tough on my daughter. I was tough on my daughter, I got to admit it. I let my son do a lot more than my daughter did.
But you allowed her to go to her high school prom, I'm sure.
I did, but I was very careful she dated. You know, I was really, really on top of her. And, yeah, I was kind of strict. But I'm happy. I've got 4 grandkids now, and, they, you know, they're all doing well. They all live here in Florida.
Great.
Now,
that's wonderful, right?
Now, do you have a son?
I have a son, Joey.
How's Joey doing?
He lives in New Jersey.
Oh, he's in Jersey. Okay.
Just like Florida.
What is he doing there?
Nothing these days, really.
He's just hanging out in Jersey, huh?
Yep.
I got to ask you, we'll wrap up here in just a few minutes. I got to ask you about Don Rickles. I was a big Don Rickles fan, and I heard that you saved Don Rickles from a mob hit. Is that true?
Yes. When Don asked me on a date, the first date that he asked me on.
Really?
He went to a movie. We were both appearing in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And he rented a red, shiny Corvette for that first date.
Right.
And we drove up to this very fancy movie house with a valet. And the valet looked at us and said, "Wow, Don, she's a beauty." And I said, "Why, thank you." And Don said, "The car, Johnny, the car."
You know, it's no wonder he didn't have more hits on him. You know? Man, he got away with a lot.
He got away with murder.
He did. Especially with Frank Sinatra, man.
When he said to Frank, and Frank walked in, he said, "Frank, make yourself at home. Hit somebody."
Yeah. I loved him, though. I did love him.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah, I miss him a lot. He was something else. I was fortunate to see him perform here in Sarasota, as a matter of fact. But yeah, he's definitely missed. I love the stories about him and Frank together, and he's the only guy I know will try to kiss Frank Sinatra in the mouth. What can you say about Frank? Did you hang out with him like at his house or anything like that?
Yes.
Really?
When he was in Las Vegas, he would hold court at Caesar's Palace at the Copa Room.
Right.
Not Caesar's Palace, but at the Sands Hotel. And every night we would hang out with Frank. And he was always surrounded by groups of celebrities. And it was a very exciting time. Las Vegas in the 60s was a blast.
I used to go to Vegas a lot in the 70s. I mean, I'm talking like, you know, like mid-70s. And it's changed so, and now it's so corporate, you know, which I don't like.
Oh, it's one big crap game in the desert. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's lost its appeal.
Yep.
It used to be sexy. It used to be a sexy town.
Exactly.
You could feel the excitement of Las Vegas, and then you stepped off the plane. Now it's one big giant, as you said, corporation.
Very corporate. Yeah, when I used to go, I stayed at the Riviera a lot, And, you know, it was, it, you can feel it was, you know, still run by the mob, which I liked. You know, I like those guys.
I wish the mob was still running things in Las Vegas.
Yeah, so do I. I think they should run the country.
Well, I don't know about that.
But my dad grew up in Brooklyn, in Bensonhurst. So he's got story. He's Jewish, and you know, of course, they had the Jewish and the Italian side, and he had a lot of guys that became you know, good fellows, you know, mobsters back in the day that he grew up with in Bensonhurst, and at some of the bar mitzvahs, he would introduce me to some of those guys, and he'd say, "See that guy over there? Go say hello to him. Just be nice to him, you know, that kind of thing." It was pretty exciting. Of course, they had like $2,000 suits or whatever they're wearing, and you know.
I grew up surrounded by the underworld.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. All, you know, you had to in that area, especially in Jersey.
That's right.
Yeah, but when I saw Frank Sinatra the first time, it was at Caesar's Palace, and there was a long line of people waiting to get inside, and I didn't have a ticket. And I asked the taxi driver, I said, "Do you think I can get in to see Frank?" He says, "Yeah, give it a shot." You know, I said, "I don't have a ticket." He says, "Go." So I had $100 bill, and I went up to the maitre d', cut in front of all these people. I says, "Can you get me in to see Frank?" He says, "I can't get you in to see Frank." I says, "Okay." He says, "Wait, where are you going?" I said, "You told me I can't go see Frank." He says, "I can't do it, but this guy can." So he got me over to the side, and then he says, "Well, tell him you're with so-and-so party." Okay. So right away, they got me in. The guy says, "You got the yard?" I says, "I got the yard. Here." He says, "You want front row center?" I says, "Yeah, why not?"
It was up with a Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it was back then, you know?
Right.
So that was the best. Front row center, 3 drink minimum to see Frank Sinatra. And he was the best. I mean, of all the shows I've been to, there's no band like the band that, you know, with Sinatra. It was the greatest.
That's true.
Connie, you have anything else you'd like to promote or chat about?
No, I think you covered my whole life, right?
Well, I'd love to see you one day, since we're both in Florida. That'd be cool. You know, I got family in West Palm, so that's pretty close, I guess.
Well, if you're ever down this way, give me a buzz.
I'd love to. I'd love to meet you. I've been married, 36 years. My wife was a nurse. Both my daughter's a school teacher. I got, you know, my 4 grandkids. We got twin girls, identical.
Wonderful.
Twin girls. They're beautiful. Do you have grandkids?
No.
No?
No.
Well, I'll bring you mine. How's that? Connie, thank you so much for being on the show today. More importantly, for all the incredible music you've given us over the years.
Thank you, man.
We love you. You deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's a tragedy that you're not. You should. And eventually, I think you will be.
Well, that's all political.
It's all political, yep. If I was running things, you'd be in the first ballot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Connie.
Okay, Ray. You take care now. Have a good day.
You too. God bless you.
God bless you too.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
For more information about Connie Francis, visit www.conniefrancis.com or www.facebook.com/Connie Francis Official. Also, the East Coast Music Hall of Fame.org, www.eastcoastmusichalloffame.org. Purchase among my souvenirs, The Real Story, Volume 1. There's going to be 3 volumes by Connie Francis at Amazon.com. The stories she shares with an extraordinary cast of characters are indeed funnier, stranger, and often far more shocking than fiction. Few stars have experienced the roller coaster ride that marked the life of Connie Francis. Fewer still possesses the willingness, wit, insight, intellect, and disarming self-depreciation to write a book of such unflinching nature. It is a truly a joyful comedic and emotionally disturbing book to read, far more horrifying than any bestseller writer of fiction would dare to contemplate. And you can purchase Among My Souvenirs, The Real Story, Volume 1 at Amazon.com. God Save America is actually a new re-release by Connie Francis, released on March 1st. That's also available at Amazon.com. Very special thanks to Ron Roberts of Conchetta Records for arranging this interview with Connie Francis. And, of course, the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsome of BBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. It's real news, people. Don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of an Eclectic American Family and Their Wacky Family Business, available now at Amazon.com, and I promise you will live it. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio, Station 1.